Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is lived experience of disability, and it's this time of the year, time for Melbourne Fringe Festival. That means we're doing a bonus set of interviews talking all things Fringe, and my name is Raph. Today, we are talking with Tristan Sinclair, the director, producer of a show called Bear. Welcome to the Boldness, Tristan. How are you doing?
Thank you, Raph. I'm doing really well, and I'm really pleased to be taking this time with you.
Look, we're here to have a lot of fun now. Let's talk about Bear. What is Bear? What's it about? Who's it by?
Absolutely. So the top level Bear is a dance show. We're a group of contemporary dancers. There's 13 of us, and we're a mixture of people with and without intellectual disability, primarily a group of 8 dancers with Down syndrome, and then 5 other dancers, people that, you know, may identify with some neurodivergence, autism, or just an ally of the community. And we're come together to create a really honest exploratory dance show of what it's like for all these different bodies and minds to share a stage.
The show features collaboratory devised movement with varied sections. What's that about?
Yeah, it's been a lot about how we share the space as a group of creative people and the way different bodies create different kinds of movement, and the way then every other body in the room will take that movement and deliver it, you know, in their way, depending who's been taking leadership of different particular creative parts of the show. We have different movement styles coming through and different intentions in, you know, are we trying to look the same, or are we trying to show the way different movements look different on different bodies but have something common underneath it? So it's about, I guess, how individuals create when they become a collective.
What about the set? Is it a very complex set or a very simple backdrop? And are there any types of props?
It's a very, very simple set. We have dancers on a stage with lights on us is the extent of our set. We actually, because, you know, we just like to run, you know, tight to the wire, we currently are thinking we're going to have some very simple props in the way of some signs in the show, but we are actually just finishing up workshopping whether or not they're going to fit into this final piece. But it's quite simple. Intentionally so. We wanted to keep it simple for us as creators, and then also when we perform it, keep it simple for an audience that, you know, effectively you're looking at people on stage.
With the type of show, sounds like it's maybe, I would describe probably as interpretive dance, so it's a very visual show?
Yeah, yes it is. It's very visual. We've spent a lot of time exploring the ways our bodies collectively and individually can express through dance movement, through interpretive movement.
Now, there's a very somewhat provocative headline, and it's a great little way to come people. I'm going to read it out exactly how it is written. Where the truth is naked, but the dancers are not. What does this actually mean here, Tristan?
I think the first thing it means is we wanted to have fun and wanted some levity in what we were creating because, you know, we have serious ideas, but we also just create for the delight of it. First and foremost, it was about creating something a bit tongue-in-cheek, a little bit irreverent, just in the spirit of the Fringe Festival. You know, Fringe is where you find some of the most interesting new ideas that artists are birthing. I think also it was to add a layer of provocation and maturity maybe isn't the right word, but certainly something disruptive to the ideas that people with disabilities, people with Down syndrome, whole humans that include a sexuality, a, you know, identity in all the ways that most members of society are going to express. So we were trying to touch on, disrupting some really outdated ideas around what's appropriate for different kinds of people, and that really those ideas are pretty useless and certainly restrictive.
Yep, sure. So the people on stage are essentially, let's say, the word bear, it could mean naked, but what your people would really be seeing is a naked type of truth, but the dancers are clothed then.
Yes, and so that, exactly.
And then we're going to explore that, teasing this out a little bit further, Tristan. So people are actually vulnerable, letting people, inviting the audiences into their lives.
Yes, and yes, exactly that. That, you know, there's forms of exposure, and the kind of exposure we're bringing through is, this is who we are. It's not about being literally naked. It's about presenting our shared experiences as a group of people on stage and sharing with you what we've gone through to create the show.
Right, and it sounds like if you're curious in what gets missed when we only celebrate what's polished and pedigree approved, we're not here to disrupt the show. We just don't know how to get there. But if you want to feel magnificent and misplaced, is this the type of show you really should go to?
Yes. It's, it's funny when you put together, because obviously I sat with the, you know, I wrote these words, but I sat with the cast and we talked about, you know, what do we want to say? And so much of what we wanted to say was really just that we were a group of people that love dancing. And it was then, well, how do I put words to this? That effectively our theme is just that we are a mixed group of dancers who none of us have experience dancing on stage together in a blended sense. I've worked with the Down syndrome community for a decade, but I've never danced on stage with the dancers before. Except for one time in a supporting role, whereas in this case, we have a cast where everyone is featured as a performer. And the group was saying, we don't really care about the theme. We don't have a message beyond the fact right now that we've all got together and we all want to create a dance show. And we were discussing how strange it is that, you know, I have 10 years in the in this space and haven't done this yet, that I've only seen a very small handfuls of shows that blur these kinds of identity. So it was, what have we been missing out on if we're not putting together groups of people like this as artists, as dancers? And why is this the first time this group of dancers, and of course there are amazing examples out there of works like this, but we just were feeling like there's too few. And is that because of an idea of what dance should be and of perfection and where funding gets directed?
Yeah, now we're going to talk and discuss through accessibility, and we're going to do it in a very, very straightforward manner. Now, what type of accessibility is available? But because it's a predominantly visual interpretive dance, how does that affect the deaf or hard of hearing communities? What does that mean?
Yeah, I believe we would call the show partially accessible for people who are deaf and hard of hearing. As a primarily visual show, you can certainly just, and certainly we would really want people to just be able to sit and enjoy the whole way through the show. We're moving our bodies. You know, that's what we've put an enormous amount of time into. There is one section that has some spoken word, and if we don't have subtitles available in the setup or an Auslan interpreter, we will have the words available online. If you were to see the show without knowing what those words are as they're spoken, I don't think it's going to detract from the experience. We're still moving our bodies on stage, and in 40 minutes, it's 3 minutes. So I would say that would be partially accessible. You are still going to appreciate the vast majority of what we've created.
So I think language is no barrier?
Yeah, again, I would say the same thing. There's 3 minutes of English speaking, but it's in a 40-minute show where the focus the entire time is the way we move.
And how accessible is the venue?
We're really lucky to be hosted by the Fringe Festival Hub, and they, the Fringe as an organisation, do a really good job of being accessible and inclusive. So the venue is wheelchair accessible. I believe there is the potential for someone to break out and have, you know, a quiet, non-sensory kind of moment if they need some space. And it's the meat market in North Melbourne, which does have some good public transport. Parking is a little bit more difficult, but it is a fairly central location.
Yeah, with the meat market, from memory, that's around Blackwood Street, North Melbourne?
That's correct, yes.
Yep, and kind of like we'll get to that a little bit later on, as in very, very quickly. But let's say with Bear, it's part of Melbourne Fringe Festival. What's been your experience working with Melbourne Fringe Festival to have a show with them?
I've worked with Melbourne Fringe for a few years, from putting on shows in the past, as a few other, actually the majority of the cast members have. And I've always felt so supported by the Fringe Festival, actually. It's, you know, the reason you come back as a group of artists, and particularly in this case, as a group of new artists, artists who've never worked together in this way before, the Fringe felt like the right place with the right supports wrapped around us to create a show and put it on. There's lots of moving parts to putting on a show, and the Fringe Festival, you know, they send out, I'm not sure if it's weekly, but it's certainly regular bulletins throughout the process that has really well documented information on, you know, where you should be this week. What are the things that you don't want to miss? You've got to get your media. Have you done all these things that you need to do to produce a show? And they do it in a way that keeps it as light and accessible as possible. And they're incredibly available. Every year I've contacted Fringe about, you know, concerns, not concerns so much, but questions on how to put the show together, what's the next step. And you know the names of the people that you're going to be speaking to year on year. So I couldn't really speak any higher of the way Fringe support community artists.
Yep, sure. Now, what about, was there any assistance, like any funding available that you'd like to acknowledge? Who supported Bear financially?
So Fringe Festival put on quite a few different funding opportunities, and we were really lucky to receive a Ralph McLean micro grant from Fringe. And even the way, just to continue, kind of obviously we're grateful for funding, but even the way they go about making that funding accessible is really thoughtful. So we'd applied originally for, you know, larger blocks of funding, to which they said, you know, in this instance, they've got so many worthy candidates, their funding was directed elsewhere. And then they reached back out to us and said, we have some micro grants, and because you've already written to us and explained your show, we're happy just to put you in for consideration for that without requiring you to, you know, filling out grant applications can be a drain on time when you, you know, are volunteering to put your time in for that. So we did receive a small amount of funding through that, and that included support for registration and enough money to basically put together some basic costumes for our show. In this case, we directed that funding towards making sure that we weren't bare on stage. So receiving the funding is incredibly valuable to us, but also the way Fringe make that process kind. You know, getting knocked back for funding is a part of being an artist. It sometimes hits a little bit harder. It sometimes is, you know, like we all know that every piece of art is worthy. It's not really ever about feeling cheated, but there is an exhaustion to applying for things and missing out. And the way Fringe support that process with follow-up opportunities, really wonderful.
Yeah. Now we're just going to go through, what about, are there any event or trigger warnings for Bear?
I don't think I listed any on our event, on the Fringe event website. And I do think as the show, because you feel that out when you're still creating the show, but I haven't had to update Fringe on anything. There's sustained light, bright lights, but it's not strobing. It's just what you would expect for a brightly lit dance show. And the music is loud, but not excessively loud, and there is no sudden loud noises. So I think there is nothing else to report in that way.
Yep. Sure. Now comes the crucial bits of information, Tristan. Your chance. What is the best reason that people should come and see Bear at Melbourne Fringe Festival?
The best reason people should come and see, I think, because you will see art that is deeply heartfelt and delivered with skill, but in a way that might make you consider the way the word even skill has so many different ways of being expressed. And you will see a stage of dancers with diverse backgrounds and lived experiences who are collaborating in ways that they're learning about as they create it, which is a pretty cool thing to witness.
And how do people buy tickets to see Bear?
Absolutely. Jump onto the Fringe website and search for us, Bear, B-A-R-E. And you can grab your tickets on the Fringe website, or they will be available at the door on the night as well.
Now, can you just repeat that, please?
Absolutely. So, you can jump on the Fringe website and search for us on there. Search for Bear, B-A-R-E, and you can buy them online. And you also will be able to get tickets at the door on the night.
Sure, and like the ticketing prices are that for a full paying person, it's $18. A concession card is $14. If you're a Fringe member, $13.50. And what's this part about extra applause?
Extra applause is another way Fringe support their artists, and it's an option for audience members to basically tip, and that extra applause money goes directly to the creators, in our case the dancers you'll see on stage. So it's like the audience having a chance to give us a tip.
And black tickets, $10?
Yeah. Absolutely, yep.
And who are the black tickets available for?
Yep, they're for Indigenous Australian peoples.
Indigenous Australia. Well, thank you very much for your time, Tristan, for joining me on The Boldness to talk about the Bear show showing at Melbourne Fringe Festival. Thank you very much for your time, Tristan.
Thank you so much, Raph. It was really nice to spend some time with you.